engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750-1800-WSB-TALK. So Sonny Perdue has just come out of a meeting with Donald Trump. Looks like they're looking at him for ag secretary. I'm getting some more information on the issue. I'll give it to you here in a little bit. But before we do anything like that, there's a big story percolating out there I want to get to first out of the gate. And many of you know Chip and Joanna Gaines on HGTV. Chip and Joanna Gaines, they do a TV. I don't watch HGTV. I'm neither female nor gay, and I'm not an HGTV watcher. Charlie, on the other hand, watches this show. Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines. They live in Waco, Texas. So the gay rights groups act like they own Bravo and HGTV, and I'm not trying to be flippant in saying that. They did look at the Benham brothers. Now look at Joanna and Chip Gaines. And other Christians who have been on HGTV who have been accused of homophobia or being friendly with homophobes and therefore being told they can't be on HGTV. The Benham brothers are a great example of this. The Benham brothers, who are friends of mine, by the way, North Carolina, they were getting a show on HGTV. The twin brothers who do rentals and houses and real estate, and they were booted because it turns out their father is a pro-life activist, and they themselves have been on record that marriage is between a man and a woman and homosexuality is a sin, and they dared to quote the Bible, much like the Kelvin Cochran, the fire chief in Atlanta, has quoted the Bible. Now, I want to read for you something from Merriam-Webster. That would be the dictionary. For those of you who go to Emory, the dictionary is a collection of words wherein you can find their meaning, called a definition. The definition of bigot: a person who is obstinately or intolerantly devoted to his or her own opinions and prejudices, especially one who regards or treats the members of a group with hatred and intolerance. Sounds like the bigots are coming for Chip and Joanna Gaines. The reason they're coming for Chip and Joanna Gaines is because they go to Antioch Community Church in Waco, Texas. It is a non-denominational, evangelical, missions-based megachurch. By the way, did y'all hear we're getting a charismatic megachurch in Atlanta? They're going to call it Pentecostco. Not my joke. The church curmudgeon on Twitter tweeted that out. Pentecostco. Anyway, so they go to this church. Their pastor, Jimmy Siebert, describes them as friends, and he takes a strong Christian stance on sin, on all sin, including homosexuality, that it the Bible says it's a sin. He takes the position that marriage is between a man and a woman, that God creates people male and female. We don't get to pick and choose. And, well, there's now an outrage. Now, you should know that the show Fixer Upper does very, very well with Christians, with feminists, with the LGBT community. It is across the board a beloved show on HGTV, one of the better shows on HGTV from what I'm told. Again, I don't watch HGTV. I have better things to do with my time, and I don't mean that insulting to those of you who have nothing to do when you watch HGTV. I don't get it. I mean, I watch the cooking channel. I will admit, I do get it. If you're into home fixer-uppers, I don't mean to be insulting, but it's not my thing. But people are coming out again. This is why the left lost. This is why Donald Trump won. And not only do they not get it, but they're doubling down on intolerance against people who hold multi-thousand-year-old traditional views of marriage, sin, and faith. and it's only going to get worse. Somebody I know wrote a book called You Will Be Made to Care. Great book. You should go get it. And this is exactly it. And there are some data points on this that aren't getting talked about in the media that you should know about because it explains so much. So Chip and Joanna Gaines, I want to read you what my friend Gabriella Hoffman wrote at theresurgent.com. Listen to this. This targeting of the Gaineses is not uncharacteristic in this day and age. The left and their surrogates in the so-called news outlets are looking to stir the pot and divide Americans. If you dissent from their worldview, you are a bigot, sexist, racist, homophobe, the works. It's no wonder why Donald Trump, for all of his faults, won. People are sick and tired of the elites in all spheres attacking the American way of life. Chip and Joanna Gaines are good, wholesome people who bring joy to Texans and millions across the country. They're respectful. They're courteous. They're kind. They are devout Christians. Entertainment needs more people like them, not fewer. Amen to that. Here's a data point that gets overlooked because the exit polls were so screwed up. By the time they got reweighted for accurate modeling, a great many people stopped paying attention to them. Do you know one of the major reasons that Democrats in the Rust Belt and Midwest went for Donald Trump and not Hillary Clinton? And again, this is not me. This is not speculation. This is the reweighted exit polls to get an accurate model after they knew the turnout, the reweighted exit polls. For people in the Rust Belt and the Midwest, Democrats who voted for Barack Obama but then voted for Donald Trump, this pool of Democrats, because, you know, there are a significant number of Democrats. There are a significant number of Democratic counties, including Erie County, Pennsylvania, and more. And they went for Barack Obama in 2012, and they went for Donald Trump in 2016. Do you know the number one reason? And again, this isn't me. I'm not making this up. This is from the reweighted exit polls of how the voters actually voted. The number one reason: these Democrats thought Hillary Clinton cared more about bathrooms than jobs. Hillary Clinton, they thought, cared more about bathrooms than jobs. And here the left is, going after a family values, salt of the earth, never said anything controversial in their lives, Christian couple. Not because of anything they said, not because of anything they did, but because of where they go to church. And where do they go to church? They go to a church that believes in Orthodox Christianity, Bible-believing, inerrancy of the Bible, Christianity. If you think we're just talking about white people in Texas, there are a lot of blacks, a lot of Hispanics, and a lot of Koreans in this country, largely Presbyterians, the Koreans, who agree with them. And when the left starts coming for Chip and Joanna, these people, Hispanics, blacks, Asians, whites, they're going to feel targeted. The left, you will not forget, created a seeming existential crisis for Christians in this country, that they're going to come for them and their children and their schools, and they're going to drive them out of business, and they're going to drive their Christian schools out of business. All this does is perpetuate that feeling and make people more and more glad they voted for Donald Trump. That is just the reality. It is just a fact. And it is something that the left itself in this country cannot figure out, does not want to figure out, does not want to grasp with. And until it does, they're going to keep losing. So maybe we shouldn't point it out to them. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. When we come back, Sonny Perdue has gotten out of a meeting with Donald Trump. it appears that he's being considered for Ag Secretary. He has had several conversations, apparently, in the past. He was seen getting on the elevator going up to meet with Donald Trump with Nick Ayers, who is the right-hand man for Mike Pence. But more importantly, Nick Ayers is married to Sonny Perdue's niece. And, you know, Sonny and David Perdue are kin. David Perdue has been very, very close with the Trump campaign. There continue to be rumors that they're looking at the at David Perdue for something. I don't think David Perdue is going to leave the Senate. I can't imagine that David Perdue leaves the Senate. But nonetheless, we continue to go on and have these cabinets. But there's a catch. Conservatives are starting to grumble a little bit about the latest Trump picks. He's got a guy from Goldman Sachs, it appears. And you know who's really, really happy today? Wall Street tycoons. I'll tell you about it when we come back. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. Now, I got an important announcement before I go into any other news. This actually is a really important announcement. Clark Howard's Christmas Kids begins tomorrow. We are in Christmas season. And, you know, I guess we should start playing all my Christmas music. We got tons in the cart of all my Christmas. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't, because I hate to hear words play in the songs. I really do. I hate hearing the words. It doesn't sound as professional, I don't think, as when you just hear the music. And that's just, I guess, because I'm a Rush kid, and Rush doesn't play lyrics, and so I refuse. But Clark Howard Kids, Christmas Kids, begins tomorrow in Roswell at the Walmart on Mansell Road. Clark's going to be there from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow. And then on Saturday, we haven't forgotten those of you on the south side of Atlanta, in Peachtree City, from 10 a.m. until, I don't know, 1 o'clock or so on Saturday, Shaney B. is going to be there with me. They're putting the band back together. Shaney B., I miss Shaney B. I need to say, I have been at the office several times the last couple of days, and I've looked for Shaney B., and he's been gone by the time I've been there. And I have to have my Shaney B fix every once in a while, and I miss him. And so I get to see Shaney B on Saturday at the Walmart in Peachtree City, and you can too. And you can go see Clark Howard at the Walmart in Roswell on Mansell Road tomorrow. Now, we're going to get into Sonny Perdue and going to meet with Trump and Trump's cabinet and liberal concerns, but I meant to talk about this the other night, and I didn't get a chance, and I want to. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to talk about it right now. Most of you, I would say 95% of you, have never heard of Al-Malik, and I hope I'm doing justice to his last name. Om is his first name. He is a venture capitalist in California. He is a guy I followed for years. He ran a website, a tech website called GigaOM, and I loved it. In fact, when I was doing a redesign for Red State, I wanted to steal several elements from it. He's a very sharp guy. He is of the political left. But he sees things differently from a lot of people, just in part from his upbringing. And he has a piece in The New Yorker, of all places. And let me just read you. I want to read you the first two paragraphs. And they're short. Bear with me here. Silicon Valley seems to have lost a bit of its verve since the presidential election. The streets of San Francisco, spiritually part of the valley, feel less crowded. Coffee shop conversations are hushed. Everything feels a little muted, an eerie quiet broken by chants of protesters. It even seems as if there are more parking spots. Technology leaders, their employees, and those who make up the entire technology ecosystem seem to have been shaken up and shocked by the election of Donald Trump. Our one conversation has centered on a rather simplistic narrative of Trump as an enemy of Silicon Valley. This goes along with the self-flagellating regret that the technology industry didn't do enough to get Hillary Clinton into the White House. Others have decided that the real villains are Silicon Valley giants, especially Twitter, Facebook, and Google, for spreading fake news stories and that vilified Clinton and helped elect an unpopular president. And then he goes on to say, Perhaps it's time for those of us who populate the technology sphere to ask ourselves some really hard questions. Let's start with this. Why did so many people vote for Donald Trump? Glenn Greenwald, the firebrand investigative journalist who's not a fan of the United States of America, don't ever talk about him positively in my presence, please. And documentary filmmaker Michael Moore have listed reasons Clinton lost, like Brexit. The election of Donald Trump has focused attention on the sense that globalization has eroded the real prospects and hopes of the working class in this country. Globalization is a proxy for technology-powered capitalism, which tends to reward fewer and fewer members of society. And in this entire piece, he goes on to make the very legitimate case that as technology in Silicon Valley, the technology entrepreneurs of Silicon Valley, they forget the human cost of their innovation. If you build a self-driving 18-wheeler to deliver cargo, what happens to the truck driver? Truck driving in this country is one of the very few jobs left that pays exceedingly well without a college education. What about the taxi driver because of Uber? What about the Uber driver because of the self-driving car? Technological innovation. You know, the president all the time laments the rise of the ATM. Now, I ridicule that because the data doesn't actually show a bunch of bank tellers have been displaced by ATMs. Bank tellers have been displaced for other reasons, not ATMs. But technology, that they're making billions figuring out ways to make people unemployed. It is, I think, a truth that technology does have a human cost. And this is one of those TV cliches, but it's true. So many people ask whether or not something can be done. They don't ask whether it should be done. Is it really a good thing to build a self-driving 18-wheeler? What about the human cost? What about the truck driver who gets put out of business because of the self-driving 18-wheeler? What about the self-driving 18-wheeler run by a computer and you've got the human driver next to it and the 18-wheeler has to respond to the human driver and the 18-wheeler may run as a computer program technically flawlessly, but how does it deal with erratic human behavior? What about Amazon.com? What about Walmart? I mean, we had these conversations with Walmart. Walmart shut down the mom-and-pop shop. Amazon shutting down Walmart. Now, it is true costs have gone down to consumers because of Walmart, and then costs have gone down further because of Amazon. That is absolutely true. But what about the small businessman who wants to be his own employee? He wants to be an entrepreneur, and now he can't because he can't compete. And now you're at a situation where these big companies like Amazon and Walmart and whatnot, they're in favor of taxing the internet because they've gotten so big, they know that if they start taxing the internet, they can shut out competition. They can shut down the little guy and they can keep the little guy out of it. People don't think about these consequences. And the left in particular is prone to this. I've heard it said repeatedly, and I think it's very true. I really actually do think this is true, that the right has a negative view of humanity, but a positive view of their neighbor. And the left has a positive view of humanity and a negative view of their neighbor. The left thinks its technology is helping humanity, and they couldn't care less if it puts their neighbor on the sidelines, unemployed, out of work. And I tend to subscribe to that notion. I do think it's fair. The left is the mob, and we are not the mob. And the left, in being the mob, couldn't care less about the little guy. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. Phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Number of people texting in asking why I'm starting and stopping the Facebook live feed. We have discovered that the vast majority of this audience appreciates, instead of having to scroll through 2 hours of it, if I do it by monologue. So with the Facebook Live feed, and you go to E.W. Erickson or The Resurgent on Facebook.com/TheResurgent/E.W. Erickson, and we got them done by monologue. Makes it easier. You can find the topic of what you want, and as well, you can go to WSBRadio.com, iTunes, or SoundCloud.com/E.W. Erickson, or even TheResurgent.com, and get the full podcast. You can subscribe to the full podcast and listen to it at your leisure, though we prefer you listen to it live. One thing I am doing, though, is if you get the podcast tonight, I'm not going to have time to cover this topic in the show today and wanted to do it in the podcast. There's a gender studies professor out there today claiming there's no such thing as biological sex, that it's all a construct, that our construct, our structures convey it, but it's not real. That's what this person says. I don't want to say he, I guess. We'll be back with the Trump cabinet. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson. It is 6:10 in Atlanta, Georgia, where I am, and the rain has largely moved out of the area. There are some light sprinkles south of Atlanta, north of Atlanta. You're clear. Yay, rain. Yay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I can close out the radar. There is no need for me to have the radar open now that everything has gotten out of the way. Okay, so we need to talk about Donald Trump's cabinet. There are issues. And, well, those issues have two words. Goldman Sachs. Joe Walsh, who is a former congressman, he does radio in Chicago. His claim to fame is he used the N-word on the radio and was suspended for a time. He is really upset, as are a number of other people on the right, at some of the current picks headed into the Trump cabinet. So we've had some really good Trump picks. Betsy DeVos is great. Elaine Chao, the left hates because she hates unions and they hate her. The left hates Tom Price. Conservatives hate Tom Price's repeal replace plan for Obamacare, you should know. But they're okay with him as Health and Human Services Secretary. By the way, Judson Hill, state senator in Georgia, is the first person to jump out into Tom Price's race and declare he's been wanting that seat for a long time. I've actually had a number of conservative groups in D.C. reach out to me, all of them asking if I know anyone who wants to run, because none of them want Judson, which I found interesting. I thought people viewed him as a conservative. I always have, but the conservative groups in D.C. are calling, beating the bushes, trying to find someone to challenge Judson because none of them want him, which is interesting. All the major conservative groups up there have reached out to me over this issue, and I was completely thrown off guard by it. In any event, that's that. Now, let me just read you this so you get a sense of why conservatives, including conservatives within the Trump transition team, are starting to leak to reporters. After a decade in the wilderness, Wall Street's most powerful firm, Goldman Sachs, is dominating the early days of the incoming Trump administration. The newly picked Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, has spent 17 years at Goldman. He's also a George Soros guy. Trump's top incoming White House advisor, Steve Bannon, spent his early career at Goldman Sachs. So did Anthony Scaramucci, one of Trump's top transition advisors. Goldman's president, Gary Cohn, spent an hour schmoozing with Donald Trump on Tuesday and could be up for an administration job, including director of Office of Management and Budget. People close to Cohen in the transition said Cohen is a commodities trader and he's friends with Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Now, this is interesting because I have a personal theory on why Trump is doing this that conservatives should like. I can't play this one straight. I'm sorry. I was going to try to, but I just find it so hysterical. I'm afraid I'll start laughing in the middle of trying to play it straight. So I'll just tell you, this is a theory being circulated by some loyalists to the incoming administration that the reason Donald Trump is filling up his administration with Goldman Sachs employees is that he's hoping to finally get the transcripts of Hillary Clinton's speeches to Goldman Sachs so he can indict her. I'm not making that up. This is something that's going on. Speaking of, there's a news story out there circulating all over Facebook. I've actually seen several of my listeners to this program putting this on Facebook today. And I feel very responsible now to make sure that I call out BS on fake news items. There's a story all over Facebook that the reason Barack Obama and Joe Biden have decided not to go to Fidel Castro's funeral is because, according to Ben Carson, Donald Trump found a Kennedy-era executive order saying anyone who goes to the funeral of a foreign leader who hated America would go to jail. And so Trump, according to Ben Carson, according to this Facebook post, told Barack Obama that they would go to jail once he was president if they did it. Now, it is completely not true. Now, first of all, I hear some of you screaming, how do you know it's not true? Well, because think about this. It's an executive order. According to the story on Facebook, it's an executive order. Who writes executive orders? Not Congress, but the president. What can any president do? Any president can choose to ignore an existing executive order, thereby rendering it invalid. That is perfectly lawful and legal. Supreme Court says so. Congress has said so. Presidents have done it, including Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if the story is true that Trump found a Kennedy-era executive order and told Barack Obama he'd go to jail, well, he couldn't because Barack Obama, by going to the funeral, would have rendered the executive order invalid. It's not a true story, folks. It didn't happen. I mean, listen, I realize that the left is about to start peddling fake news stories all over the place, but there are good people who listen to this radio program who have put it on Facebook today and tagged me in the story asking if I would talk about it tonight. And I had to email every one of them privately on Facebook and say, listen, I am going to talk about this, but you need to know it's not true. And I explained to them why, and they all understood, oh, yeah, I should have thought about that. If it was an executive order, President Obama can change it. So, nonetheless, I got to give Trump a lot of credit for his cabinet picks. Betsy DeVos is just making all the right people mad. Tom Price making all the right people mad. It looks like he's going to name General Mattis as his preference for defense secretary, which is going to be huge. The man is a real war hero. He is as diligent and awesome off the field as he is on. The military loves him greatly. And then there's Sonny Perdue. Sonny Perdue, for those of you outside of Georgia watching on the Facebook live stream or listening to the podcast, Sonny Perdue was the first Republican governor of Georgia since Reconstruction. Now, he had been a Democrat. He converted to the Republican Party when he wanted to run for Republican governor. He challenged Roy Barnes, the incumbent governor of Georgia. He ran ad campaigns against Roy Barnes, portraying Roy Barnes as King Rat, someone in a giant rat costume wearing a crown, parading around, lording over the Gold Dome, the Georgia State Capitol. And it won him the election. It was a very creative ad campaign out of the box. It won him. He became the first Republican governor in Georgia. His instincts tended to be slightly Democrat in some cases. But he's a good man, very good man, very nice guy. And it looks to be on tap for ag secretary. Now, Perdue held a press conference after he met with Donald Trump. The press asked him about it. He said he was not asked specifically about being agriculture secretary, but that they talked about agriculture policy. And he pointed out to Donald Trump that he had been a businessman in the agriculture field. He's a farmer vet, farmer guy, and dealt with cattle and whatnot and crops, and he knows agriculture. Sonny Perdue, you've got to give this to him. The man knows agriculture. He is eminently qualified for the position of ag secretary. He'd probably be a really damn good pick for ag secretary, and it looks like they're headed that way. And he's got an inside connection because Sonny Perdue is, through marriage, kin to Nick Ayers. But more importantly, Nick Ayers was Sonny Perdue's campaign manager. Nick Ayers is the guy who got Sonny Perdue elected and put Nick Ayers on the map. And then he went on to run the Republican Governors Association. He worked for Mike Pence. He's working for Mike Pence. He's a dear friend of mine. I think the world of the guy he is I got to just let me sing Nick's praises for a second. He is a personal prayer warrior for my family. He and Mike Pence, who he works for, both of them, I get very kind notes from Nick praying for my wife's health and situation, and he is regularly on my prayer list with the stuff he's dealing with right now, having to be in New York all the time. But he and Sonny are kin through marriage. I think his wife is Sonny's niece, and so Sonny does have the inside track to be agriculture secretary if he wants it, and he would be eminently and completely qualified for that. He'd probably actually be one of the more qualified secretaries of the agriculture that we've ever had in the country. So the cabinet continues to take shape, but we've crossed over the Rubicon, so to speak, in that we're at the point now where a lot of conservatives are upset with all these Goldman Sachs guys who are now starting to pour into the administration, and that could potentially be a problem for Trump as he starts to build out his infrastructure plan and conservatives on Capitol Hill start raising red flags. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. I want to remind you guys to go to the podcast after the show. We're starting to include additional material. You can go to theresurgent.com and get it, wsbradio.com, get it, iTunes, SoundCloud, you name it. Clark Howard is going to start Clark's Christmas Kids tomorrow at the Walmart on Mansell Road in Roswell. He's going to be there tomorrow evening. The pig farmer sent me a text. I want to get the times right. He's going to be there from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow. Shaney B. and I, we're going to do a family reunion of sorts. Shaney B. and I are going to be at the Walmart in Peachtree City on Saturday from 10 to 1. You should come see, go see, if you're on the north side of the city, go see Clark tomorrow, but then come see Shaney B. and me on Saturday. I don't know if he's going to bring Bob Barker or not. I have no idea, but Shaney B. is going to be there, and it's more important to see Shaney B. than me because he's more awesome than me. So, but you can come see me with Shaney B. if you want. Okay, now we got more to talk about when we come back, and even right now, because Ben Smith at BuzzFeed is now defending their attack on Chip and Joanna Gaines. Ben Smith is the editor of BuzzFeed. And Ben Smith is in full defense mode now on the article. And I want to read you what Ben Smith is tweeting. He says, "This is a story about a big company, HGTV, refusing to say whether they ban LGBT people from a TV show. They should just answer the question." That's his spin. That it's about a big company, HGTV, refusing to say whether they ban LGBT people. Now, let me read you the title and subtitle of the piece. "Chip and Joanna Gaines' church is firmly against same-sex marriage. Their pastor considers homosexuality to be a sin caused by abuse. Whether the fixer-upper couple agrees is unclear." Where, people, does it say anything about HGTV in the title? Where does it say anything about HGTV in the subtitle? Oh, and you know what? They're telling me I got a basketball game at the bottom of the air. So I guess I'm done here in the next few minutes. Excellent. Yay. This is not a story about HGTV at all. This is a story about Chip and Joanna Gaines. And they are being attacked. This has nothing to do with HGTV. They are lying. Ben Smith is lying. He is doing damage control. The story is working against them. Good. Welcome back. It is the extended podcast section of the show. We're going to try to start doing these after the show most nights. You can always go to soundcloud.com/EW Erickson or to iTunes for the Eric Erickson Show, WSBradio.com or theresurgent.com to get it. So I got to play some audio for you that I find it to be very, very striking. And, you know, it's nice to know that there are some people who are willing to out themselves as total and complete fools in the process. And this, of course, I'm talking about is the gender studies professor who is circulating all over Twitter today. It reminds me of the couple from HGTV, Chip and Joanna Gaines, who are being persecuted essentially because they go to an actual Bible-believing Christian church. This is a gender studies professor. He was on some TV show, and I want you to listen to this discussion.
Basically, it's not correct that there is such a thing as biological sex. And I'm a historian of medicine. I can unpack that for you at great length if you
want. Boss, he's a historian of medicine.
But in the interest of time, I won't. So that's a very popular misconception. So
it's a very popular misconception. And in the interest of time, he's not going to unpack it for us.
Essentially, when in my transgender studies classes, what we're doing is looking at actual research and identifying ways that current social issues related to trans people or things that are associated with trans, such as free speech arguments and claims, how that connects to the way that people are thinking, the way that...
So they're looking at actual research into free speech claims. In other words, I'm willing to bet they're looking at how we should stop the freedom of speech for those icky bigots who don't believe transgenderism is science. Because, you know, he's not a scientist, but he says there's no such thing as biological sex.
We've been framed the history.
Give us some of the other pronouns that one would hear, typically.
I don't focus on pronouns because pronouns are actually part of a cisnormative culture.
Cisnormative culture.
Do is learn about...
Well, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah, I was just about to explain.
Good.
So we don't start from a cisnormative perspective because that can't actually go very far.
What does cisnormative mean?
So I'm going to start us there. Cisnormative is basically the very popular idea and assumption that most people probably have, and definitely that our structures convey, that there is such a thing as male and female.
That our structures convey.
To being a girl or a boy or a man or a woman.
So there's no such thing as biological sex, but our structures convey that there is.
And then sometimes that will also recognize intersex or trans people or transsexual people, as you mentioned, because that's... sometimes also referred to as a gender binary. So anything that fits within a gender binary.
Okay, we can stop the idiot there. So here is a guy who is a gender studies professor, a historian of medicine. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's not a biologist. He's not a chemist. He's not a physicist. But yet he believes there's no such thing as biological sex, but that our structures, meaning our bodies, convey that there are. This is a man, I bet you, who believes in climate change and hates icky, bigoted Republicans for being anti-science. This is a man who, you heard him say it, I stopped it and pointed it out for a reason. That his class, they look at research, they look at how people hide behind freedom of speech. You mean people like, Chip and Joanna Gaines, who have said nothing, absolutely nothing about transgenderism or gay rights, but they just happen to go to Antioch Community Church, as I mentioned in the first hour of the show tonight. It's an evangelical Bible-believing church who takes in, they happen to believe in biblical marriage. Listen, folks, the gender studies professor here is a flaky left-wing idiot who doesn't believe in science because the science shows there is a biological sex. And take it either way. There's no such thing as biological sex. I assure you, my wife did not immaculately conceive our children, if he means it that way. If he means it the other way, I assure you that our children came out of the womb, one boy, one girl. It wasn't the doctor said. It was that God made them that way. But we're moving into a brave new world where this guy gets on TV and says these things and goes unchallenged and presents no evidence. In the interest of time, he's peddling an agenda that is anti-science. He's peddling an agenda that is anti-history. He's peddling an agenda that is anti-fact. Now, the left has been upset and bullying and attacking the right for months now over fake news. This is fake. Transgenderism is fake. It is psychological. It is a mental health issue. It is not real. It is not scientific. And yet they treat it as truth. I have a real hard time taking people seriously who believe that transgenderism is a thing, and yet they rail on fake news. This is what we're going to experience for the next 4 years. As I said in the first hour of the program today, the left cannot figure out why it lost. And it's stuff like this. Remember, like I said, the data points post-election that Democrats who rejected Hillary Clinton in favor of Donald Trump, they believed she was more interested in bathrooms than jobs. This is exactly the sort of stuff that Republicans should keep making sure people know about, and we should keep getting these people on TV to freak the hell out of everyone who would ever consider even voting for a liberal, because that's what's going to happen.